This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Randy Zinnell back with us. He's a trial attorney and professor of law at Cornell Law School. This man knows his stuff without a doubt. Randy, what I want to get into on this conversation is talking about Alex's definition of love. Because he sure brought it up a lot on the stand, and I'm thinking his definition might be a little bit different than how we view love. The technical definition of love, an intense feeling of deep affection. When I think of it, I think of that. I think of, you know, being honest and caring with someone and being there for them, not hurting them. When you love somebody, that's just kind of all-encompassing. With Alec, he's on that stance on these people I love and da, 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 but I stole all this money from them and I shouldn't have done that and blah, 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 mama and blah, blah. And I still love them and they still love me. I don't think the definition of love is the same.
As a lawyer, you can only script and coach and cajole and mold your client. When your client's on that witness stand all alone, your client's true colors may not come pouring out, but every now and then they seep out. And particularly with someone who has led such a entitled, storied, just a magical life. I mean, the Murdoch name in South Carolina is royalty. This man did what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, to whom he wanted. When he was testifying, rattling off the people high up in law enforcement and in the legal community, I mean, just rattling them like he had a drink with them the night before. This guy was as connected gets.
With something like this, and we're seeing how connected he was, and we're seeing all the people who helped him out along the way. I know the CEO of the bank, and the bank name is escapes me at this moment. He was brought up on charges. I'm wondering how many other people are going to face some sort of justice for kind of their backwoods handling of so many affairs, because I don't think Alec just completely operated in a bubble unto himself. There was other people that needed to be in play here. Are we going to see any of those people taken out and you know, gone, taken to court for their roles in some of his antics?
I think I would give each of those people the opportunity to make it right.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what these victims need is their money.
Sure. Sure. And
they
that's
don't need, I mean, their sense of justice, I would think, would be, I need this money. And then we could worry about judging these people, judging these defendants. Get me my money. So that's what I would do if I were acting on behalf of the government. I would give each person who I think either turned a blind eye to Alex Murdoch's antics or actively assisted him, whether they got something out of it financially or got something out of it in terms of a future favor, I'd probably give them the opportunity to buy their way out of a real problem.
Why are we not seeing more about where his money went? Obviously, we've learned about the financial crimes. He's admitted to the financial crimes. But there hasn't been any sort of forensic analysis of, okay, you got this money. You say you spent it all on pills. There's no way you would have consumed that many pills. There hasn't been very much of a deeper dive other than kind of some conspiratorial theories online that maybe he was involved in something larger, of some sort of drug operation.
Because then you play right into the defense's hands. They want to make this thing anything but
murder?
A murder case.
Okay. That's almost a totally separate case then to go down that road.
It is a totally separate case. I mean, the prosecution has also not done a great job with a motive.
Yeah.
I mean, to say the motive was to create a distraction.
Sure.
You didn't need to kill your wife and your son to create a distraction. There could have been plenty of other things you could have done to create a distraction.
So all the other pieces, I mean, that's just one road that hasn't been gone down. But we went down the road of the financial crimes with stealing from his clients, the boating accident, the maid, and whatever other one-off one that I'm missing here. Are those things going to help or hurt when it comes to making a decision on his innocence or guilt. It certainly paints a damning picture of him being a very shady character. But again, none of it shows murder.
That's correct. That's why what the prosecution needs to do or should have done or should do is actually now marry the two and to show him to be such a sociopath. He's so disconnected from right or wrong and so matter of fact about the lives that he's destroyed. When you couple that with the lies he's told here, the most important of which was probably lying that he was never at the scene right before the homicides. And to me, listen, and people may disagree with me, anyone who has the wherewithal to say to another human being, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to kill me. I want you to shoot me in the head. So I'll be on the side of the road. You're going to pull up as if you're going to rob me, and you're going to shoot me and kill me. Well, listen, if I'm nuts enough to plan that, that's one thing. But to actually carry it out and stand there, you see the car pull up, you see someone get out of the car, you know what's about to happen, and you don't have a change of heart, you got to be pretty twisted, because there's sufficient time for you to change your mind. It's not like in a moment of you grab a gun, you stick it under your chin and you pull the trigger because you've just had enough with life. There's too much time that goes by for you to change your mind unless you're in a place beyond that momentary lapse of explosion. So,
do you think that was truly the original motive, though, or is this just, you know, Alex's version of the story? Was it more so, I'm going to have this guy, I'm going to kill this guy in self-defense and claim he came at me for?
No, I think this was a staged homicide in lieu of a suicide. He wanted this guy to kill him so his kid could collect the insurance money, and he would be gone. He would be dead.
So you view it as exactly what he says it was?
Right.
Okay. It's just, it's interesting to dive into that one because it does make some sense.
That takes an extra crazy person to be able to not only just plan that,
yeah,
but carry it out. I mean, again, this guy's just so bad he can't even get that right. Imagine you hire a hitman who doesn't shoot well.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Yes, indeed it is. Thank you so much for being here and giving us your insight, Randy. Randy Zinnell, trial attorney, professor of law at Cornell Law School. And thank you for being here and listening. We do greatly appreciate that. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the case. If you'd like a commercial-free experience, we offer that through Apple Podcasts. You can go over there and become a premium subscriber. Get access to not only this show, but all of the shows that we produce under the True Crime Today umbrella. You can see it on the subscription page there. You get all of that ad-free. We got a lot of cases that we are covering, and there's much, much more to come, and a lot of them later this year. You can find the complete list also on our episode description. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.